Morris Mizalowski joins us. He's a business futurist, a speaker, an innovator, a strategist, and he is our eye on the future. Does he say yes when required? Yes, because we say, Morris, will you talk to us? And he says yes. Morris, welcome back to 6PR.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
How are you, Doug?
I'm very good indeed. I'm very, very good indeed. We're not going to go up that particular path with you. I'm not going to put any curveball questions onto you on that particular subject matter.
Thank you. Your thong's back on?
No, my thongs are off, and funnily enough, I have sweaty feet. I don't know.
No, that's too much information.
That is an overshare. Most definitely. Before we go into deep and meaningful topics of conversation, you being a futurist, looking into the crystal ball, who would you recommend hosting the Logies for this year? Who would you recommend? Now, I'll give you the list.
Yeah.
We've got Ernie Dingo on our list. We've got Ben Cousins. We've got the entire football show team. Hugh Jackman is an option. Adam Hills. We've had a request for Sam the Koala to host the entire program. Humphrey B. Bear did get a Guernsey, which I think is pretty spectacular. He is on Nine. And also the entire cast of Underbelly wearing 70s fashion.
I kind of like Adam Hills.
Anyone else you would add to the list?
Can we get Hugh Jackman out, do you think?
Well, he's got a couple of routines under his belt.
Well, he has. Mm. He has, to some mixed reviews. But I thought he was very good.
No, you know what? I don't understand the critics in New York or LA. The majority of people I heard, a lot of people interviewed on 6PR during the week that were at the event, they said that the show was great. It brought colour and movement instead of, you know, just comedy back to the Oscars. Oh, wow. There was dance. It was all about showbiz because apparently the musical movies are having a bit of a resurgence. Up jumps Hugh, singing, dancing, tap dancing and being Wolverine at the same time. And the critics bagged him. And, have they got it wrong?
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it, I must say, very much. Although my favourite's still Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
I love when he does it. And that's not to take away anything from you, because he did a terrific job.
No, but when you think about Billy Crystal, he has the comedy, the humour, plus he does a big song and dance routine.
Yeah, it just seems to be him, kind of like Bert Newton seems to be us. And if we can put the same in the sun, I don't know if we can, but you know what I mean, hopefully.
Mm.
They just seem to own that show.
Yeah, I agree. 27 minutes after 2 o'clock, I have a list in front of me that you gracefully sent across. And this week's discussion, the future of mobile phones. Now, is there a mobile phone gathering where people talk about the future?
Of course there is. Now, it was held last week, and it was held in Barcelona.
Of course.
I mean, it's a good place to go. Unfortunately, I didn't. And it's called the Mobile World Congress, and it's held every year. And all the big guns come out to show their new toys for the year.
Okay, so we've been introduced to the iPhone, and many people still can't work it out, because I get text messages from people with iPhones that don't make any sense at all. And then I get another one saying, whoops, sorry, pressed the wrong button.
Yeah, there are some problems like that.
How many phones are in Australia?
Now, I find this fascinating. Australia's population, as of this morning, was 21.6 million. But yet the mobile phone population is 22.12 million.
What?
So we have more mobile phones than we have people. It's kind of like more sheep than people in New Zealand.
Are they breeding?
I don't know what they're doing. And these are not phones on the shelf either. These are fully in-service phones. So there are 22.2 million, close enough to mobile phones in service in Australia, more than one per person.
Gosh, no wonder the boss from Telstra can leave with such a huge bonus.
Ain't that the truth? I think it's going to happen to you and I.
Yeah, no, not me either. So the net, what happens? But there's all these mobile phones are out there. What happened to the next generation? That will come through, and then these ones will become obsolete.
I think so. We're going to see a churn in mobile phones. We're going to see a change in mobile phones anyway. They're saying this year they're going to sell less handsets, which isn't a big surprise, but they're going to sell more profitable handsets because people are moving towards, if not the iPhone, something similar by Nokia or by Samsung or by somebody else. In other words, the fancier one, the ones with more bits and pieces and bells and whistles in it.
Do we buy phones now because the camera's pretty flash?
We do. Do you know, very, very few people actually buy the phone because it is a phone. It's hardly talked about when you go in to buy the phone.
I do.
I don't. In fact, the phone part of my phone would be about the worst part of it all.
What? That doesn't make sense. It's a mobile phone.
But I rarely use it for that, I must say, really. I use it for everything else. To me, my mobile phone is really my office. It does everything for me. It almost make coffee, but I don't drink coffee, so that's fine.
So what can your mobile phone do?
Well, mine gets my emails, it gets my internet, it has all my appointments on it, it has my contacts on it, it has Google Maps, so it tells me where to go in the nicest way possible. It has all kinds of currency converters on it. When I travel, it tells me my itinerary and where I should be on planes. It really is it's a mobile computer for me and has been for a very, very long time.
So it's like your own PA?
It's absolutely like that, and that's where we're headed. But the mobile phone, moving forward about 5 years from now, will be everybody's PA, and it'll be hooked into who we are and what we are, which is strange. But what it means is that it will know lots of things about us, because it does. If you think about it, it's an inanimate object, but it has lots of information about us in it, who we are and who our friends are and where we're travelling and where we're walking, and it knows lots of things.
Heaven help the future if the mobile phones start to think for themselves.
Well, there's an interesting conundrum, because they're talking about it almost doing that. Now, not thinking about itself in the way that it's going to talk back to you, but in predicting what sort of things you might want based on what you're doing or where you are or who you're talking to. So it's certainly talking about doing that kind of thing, and I think we'll see a lot of that.
Is there any information that you cannot get on a mobile phone? Because if it's connected to the internet, you can get anything.
Absolutely. The answer would have to be yes, but I'd be scratching my head to figure out what it was you couldn't get on. I mean, as I said, it doesn't make coffee yet, but you can order coffee literally over the mobile phone. You know, in the States, with some of the Starbucks, I know we don't have many left here, but you can, with your phone, it knows where you are, it'll actually give you the next Starbucks that you're about to walk or drive past, and if you click the button, you can then order your coffee to be ready when you drive or walk past it, and pay for it too.
That's a bit bizarre. That's a bit bizarre.
It is, but it is.
So, mate, all of our communication then disappears into a little piece of plastic in our palm. We then lose the art form of actually looking one another in the eye and saying, "G'day, mate, how are you?"
I think that's true, but I think that's been true for a while. I mean, that art form is disappearing or it's changing. The kids have very different ways of talking to now and interacting.
Or try and have a conversation.
I mean, that's a whole different ballgame, trying to have a conversation with them. But you were talking about text messages before, and even the language of text messages is so unusual.
Did you know in New Zealand you can write an exam in school in text language and have it deemed correct?
I didn't know that.
Because the kids, a lot of them, are writing in text format. How do you go to spell check when the word text is TXT? TXT.
There is a spell check for text language.
Is there?
Yeah.
Jeez.
As of course there is with everything. So it's a very, very strange world. I mean, that language in itself has me stumped. I must say, I'm not a very great text message proponent.
So there's nothing that the mobile phone can do.
Well, nothing that it can't do. I think that we're getting very close to that, because it is our own personal device. I'm talking to retailers, and we're talking about 10, 15 years from now, especially 2020, where the mobile phone, this will be an opt-in system, so you'll be able to say, yes, you want to do this or not. But where the mobile phone will recognise you in a store, and it will know that you're shopping in a David Jones or a Myer or wherever you happen to be. It'll know what clothing you have in your wardrobe, because it knows about you.
And you'll get a text message from them.
Well, you'll get text messages from them telling them what's around that suits you particularly, but you'll also get really personalised service, because the phone will almost announce you. The store, you know, if you're going into a menswear place in the store, for instance, department, it'll know that I only like my jeans in a certain way, or these particular shoes or underwear or whatever, and that's a little highlight to me. The store will actually be able to show you specifically what you want to see, and it'll be able to match that in with what you've currently got. You'll be able to ring your wife if you want. You'll be able to show her the stuff. I mean, it'll be really totally interactive. And it may seem a bit overboard at the moment, and perhaps it is, but moving forward, especially if you think about the teenagers, the kids that are doing all their MySpace, Facebook and all of that, that's the kind of world they want to go into.
Will they get bigger? Because the screens will have to get bigger, won't they?
I don't think that they'll actually get much bigger, because we don't want them to. So I think the screen will take up more space on the phone like the iPhone does, so it's mostly screen. We're going to see that definitely moving forward. But we're also seeing mobile phones, and they're around right now, that are almost like a scroll or a parchment. In other words, you can pull them out, and they have this really thin screen, and then when you want, you can push the phone back together, so it becomes quite small.
Bizarre.
So those types of things, I don't know if we will or we won't, but certainly the technology for those are around today, and they're experimenting with them.
All right, so at the end of the day, I will be happy just as long as the mobile phone, whatever shape it takes, whatever form it takes, just as long as I still have the capacity to be able to...
Yes, and isn't that joyous?
Mm.
And that was a great episode on Boston Legal for anyone that saw it.
That's where I'm going. Mate, thank you very much for your time, Morris. Nice to talk to you. Joining us, he's a business futurist, a speaker, an innovator, a strategist, and an all-time good bloke, and he knows way too much. Knows way too much about the modern population, but that's why we get him. If you want a .com, in Morris Your Eye on the Future.com. Okay? Morris Your Eye, all one word. It's the longest thing in the world. When you type it in, it just keeps going. Morris Your Eye on the Future. Google that and you will end up with Morris Mizalowski.